Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Mary Kate's guest today is Matt Ahero, a son of God, husband, and father of six children, ages 8 to 1. He is the founder and CEO of Fight Club Catholic, a movement to reach men for Christ in the battle for purity of heart. Matt worked previously for 10 years as the men's campus minister at the Catholic Student Center at the University of Maryland. It was there where he created Fight Club, which started with five men in 2013 and grew to hundreds of members today in universities and parishes across the country. And he is the author of The Fight Club Field Manual and has contributed to Matt Frad's and Jason Everett's chastity book for men, Forged, 33 Days Toward Freedom. Mary Kate.
Thanks so much, Jerry. It's so good to be with you all again. And we're just so happy to have you joining us and coming together to meditate and think about how the Heavenly Father is holding us in His hands. And I'd like to, before we get going with the program, just to make a little mention, as I always do, please keep JMJ Catholic Radio in your prayers. I know the summertime is kind of a busy time, vacations and maybe spending more money. But if as the fall approaches, you have a little bit extra to share, I know JMJ Catholic Radio would really appreciate any financial assistance you can give. So please keep JMJ in your prayers, and any financial help is much appreciated. Thank you so much. If you have any questions about JMJ or about making a donation, volunteering, all that kind of good stuff, you can just give them a call at 570-287-4670. And JMJ Catholic Radio is located in Pittston, PA, P.O. Box 851. Again, that's Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. And as we always do, please go ahead and crack open your Bibles as we like to start in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, where Jesus makes this promise. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And as I've mentioned so many times before, just to take that verse with you throughout your week, and always be assured of how much you mean to the Heavenly Father, how deeply He cares about you and every detail of your life, and He wants to do life with you and walk with you. So always keep that in mind. And today we're so excited to have Matthew join us. Matthew, thanks for coming on the program.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Mary Kate.
We're so glad to have you. And Matthew, I don't know if you mind, I'm going to put the ball on your court and ask you if you would share with us maybe a favorite passage or part of Scripture with us today and why it's meaningful to you.
Absolutely. Thanks. every morning I pray in my journal, and in the front of my journal, I like to keep quotes of scriptures at the very front to remind me of my why. And when I opened up my journal today in preparation for our conversation, one of the scriptures was very clear, and it's from Matthew 3:17, from the baptism. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And why that scripture is so meaningful to me is, and as you and many other people know, this is coming to Jesus from the Father at his baptism. And what's really remarkable to me is this: God the Father is saying this to his Son before Jesus did anything, right? Before he performed miracles, before he healed the sick, before he resurrected the dead, before he died on a cross for us. you know, understand it. We could understand if God the Father said that after he did all those things, but he says it before, meaning that Jesus is a beloved son as he is before he accomplished anything. And I think that message is so important. It's so important to remind myself, and it's part of our mission of Fight Club to remind men that we are beloved sons of God before we do anything, before we try to accomplish anything, before we go to work or have or achieve anything or provide or any of that. We Americans, we are so we're born to live for the American dream, to achieve and to do it on our own. But the gospel is so opposite of that. It's reminding us, like, no, we are good because we exist. And God the Father is reminding Jesus, or telling Jesus this, and that message is a reminder for all of us. And I think it's just so, so powerful. And so, yeah, part of the mission of Fight Club is to remind men that they are beloved sons as they are. And I know I'll have a chance to talk about our ministry in a little bit, but what we deal with are men who struggle with pornography addiction, or maybe not. But I think what a lot of guys struggle or think is once I can get clean of this, then I will be lovable. You know, and I know this is not just a women's a men's issue. It's rising among women as well. A lot of people believe once I can get rid of this vice, once I can get rid of this addiction, then I will be lovable. When that's actually not the case. God wants to love us right where we are. In fact, if you think about the incarnation, you know, Joseph and our Lady, they were in a dark place in Bethlehem, and there was poop on the ground, and it's, you know, it's smelly and it's dark and in the manger. Yet that's the place where Jesus Christ decides to be born, where our Lord decides to be born. And that's the same place that in all of our hearts that Jesus wants to be born, in the dark, poopy, crappy areas of our hearts that are full of shame, full of darkness. And as it says in John, he wants to be the light in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And very relevant to this podcast title, he wants us to be in the Father's arms, and with Joseph, and with our Father, and that we are loved just as we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing that, Matt.
It's so thanks, you're welcome.
You saying that because I actually work at a hospital, and I had a patient a few weeks ago, and you know, this patient got laid up, and they were really used to working around and being busy, and this is kind of maybe hitting a different element of what you're saying, but also the sense of, like, whether we do things or don't do things, we're still lovable, right? And so this fellow was getting out of the hospital, and he was saying to me, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't go back to work, and I'm going to be laid up in the house. And I just pick up the sense from him of just kind of feeling like maybe like a little worthless. And I was like, really, what you're saying now, like, was coming to my mind. And I, in like a subtle way, perhaps, I was trying to impart that to him of like, hey, like, no, just be yourself and let yourself get better. And but like the worth and dignity you have, like if this fellow never works again for the rest of his life or even cuts his yard or anything, he's so loved by the Father just the same, you know? And I could tell it was like sort of a heavy thing on him. And then of course, to what you're speaking to and with your ministry of that, we feel like we have to get past sin before God will love us. And he wants to get started right now, you know, wherever we're at. So, but
he wants to get started right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, and part of our premise with Fight Club is like, you know, so just to use some updated stats, you know, 80% of men ages 18 to 30 are looking at pornography. Okay, and so our premise, and I've worked with this age group for 10 years now, our premise is, what if we could transform that brokenness into grace for Jesus Christ and his church? I believe that would change the world.
Yeah.
And our premise is that one of the questions when you become a Fight Club member, you have these weekly meetings. One of the questions that a guy answers is, who do I want to unite my sufferings of Christ for? Meaning, i.e., who do I want to, who am I offering my suffering for? Because as JP2 has taught us, he said, JP2 once said, prayer and suffering when combined is the greatest force in the world. And so even a man in the midst of suffering, in this darkness of shame that he's in when it comes to his addiction, even in the midst of it, if he can offer up a prayer in the midst of his suffering, that already can have transformational grace for Jesus and his church. Mm-hmm. And he does not even need to be free yet to
sure.
have effect for the church. And so that's what we're after. And it's just very exciting to do this work for our Lord.
Yeah, no, and you know, Matthew, if you don't mind me kind of jumping in there a little bit, if you would share with us maybe a little bit in your own life how you have felt the Heavenly Father holding you in his hands and furthermore pushing you toward this ministry that you're in right now.
Gosh, yeah. Well, when I was praying about it this morning, I would say, back in October of this year, of 2022, our family, so just to kind of remind everyone, I have a family of eight. I have six kids. My wife had, she and I had six kids in 7 years. My oldest is eight now.
Mm-hmm.
And to give context, we really prided ourselves on following the Dave Ramsey way. Since 10 years ago, we had no debt. We got out of college debt. We had savings. We bought a house. We fed six kids. We paid off two cars, and this is all on a salary of a campus minister, and she's a part-time math teacher, and here in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area, and tithing 10%. Anyway, past 2 years, we kind of slipped in our discipline of being good stewards with God's money, and COVID caught up to us. Having two kids in 2 years, I'm sure it caught up to us a little bit. Last year, I don't remember, early in the year, the price of formula skyrocketed. And anyway, to fast forward to October of last year, we hit a rock bottom moment where our bank overdrafted, and I made a poor decision a few months, but just only 2 months before,
mm-hmm.
3 months before decided to take credit cards to absorb some of our struggle.
Sure.
And anyone who's ever been in credit card debt can know how much that can just snowball super fast. And it did for us. And anyway, our savings was depleted, our bank overdrafted, and we had nothing with about almost a month's worth of income in credit card debt. And I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened?
Yeah,
it was a rock hard moment, and I remember just crying in the confessional. I don't remember crying ever in a confessional before that, and just telling our Lord, I'm sorry for my poor decisions and where it took us, and just praying, and a few things happened. My best friend Anthony, who lives in that area, in Northeast PA, and it really like just helped me out in terms of like getting my budget back in order. Like we woke up super early one day, and it's just what a great sacrifice, what a great friend he is to we both got up and like looked at our budget and like just to like get me out of my paralyzation and just like start having a plan. And
sure,
during that time, fast forward to like December of that year, and how many people knew? Just him. And a good friend of ours, and who's like my parents' age, and they were asking. I haven't seen them in a while, and I was visiting, and they're asking like, how am I? And I just like, I don't know. I just couldn't help but share because it was just a trusted friend of ours, and yeah, like just a beautiful thing happened. Like she and her husband are retired, and she said, Matt, like, you know, we decided like about a week later after talking to her, she said, we decided that you're going to be our priority tithe outside, like after our church, you are a priority tithe.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, I know. It was so beautiful. So moving. And she started sending these like checks like once a month, and like, yeah, those checks, like each check was about 3% of our debt. So like they weren't going to cover our debt, but she left these little post-it notes at the end of each note that said, "Dear God, please multiply this offering. Amen." And it was just so moving. And like little things have happened. Like a priest here, like would want us help us out, or we had a, you know, I had a contracted talk that I got to give that was paid a little extra here, like, or an anonymous person like wanted to help us during Christmas time, and all these little things that were unforeseen happened. And but to be honest, like, even though this was arguably probably one of the hardest times of my life, it's definitely in my marriage past 10 years there, I will, like, back to your question about being in the Father's hands.
Yeah.
I never felt Jesus away from me. And there was two things I just knew I had to keep doing during this difficult time. Was one, I had to keep showing up in prayer every day. And number two, I have 100% belief in tithing, actually. Even though we were just in this financial struggle,
sure,
I did not want to touch our 10% tithe that we were giving. Because, like, who was I trusting? Did I want to trust God or myself?
And,
right. But I have my student leaders who I would meet every week, my Fight Club leaders. And, you know, by the end of the year, I was telling them, I was like, hey guys, I don't know if you guys noticed, but this was like the hardest time of my life, this past year. And they're like, we could not notice. We didn't notice, Matt. And I think why they didn't notice is because of just the calm Jesus gave me despite the storm outside of our house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just have this belief that Jesus was in the boat despite it being a stormy time in our lives. And long story short, through a series of just miracles, we are no longer in debt. We have a building savings back up, and we're firing at all full cylinders. We literally wrote the last debt check, like the month before we launched our ministry, because I didn't want any of our donation money to go towards debt. And
sure.
Yeah, but
praise God, it's a miracle.
It really is. Like, if we had just gotten that check from that one friend, it would have taken like 3 years or two. Yeah. But through a series of different things, we're out of debt and we're back in savings, and actually, I'm taken care of. And it's just this amazing thing. I had this belief that it's going to be okay. I didn't know how. But again, like, there is a calm when to this description of what this podcast is about. When we believe we're in the Father's arms, He'll take care of us. And it's kind of crazy. Like, He's never failed us. He's never failed us. And we're taking on this endeavor to launch this nonprofit. We just launched this past July. And by the way, like, we took a commitment to never ever use credit cards again, like, that way ever again, and to really be serious about God's money and how we're using it. And we had that practice for literally 9 years. It was just that past year that we just had that slip up. And so anyway, like, it's like stories like this past year, and literally I have like dozens more about our own life, that has given us the just the confidence to launch in this endeavor to launch our own nonprofit and to reach men for Christ in this battle of purity of heart, while also taking care of our families. It's also kind of, it's going hand in hand, and God is definitely He's definitely providing for it. And so we're like, okay, this is God's will. We're doing it.
He definitely wants you to be doing this ministry, Matt, because He took care of that situation because He wanted the baseboard clear for you to start the ministry. But I just can see, too, that He just took that situation because He just wanted so much to show you how much He loved you and like, for how painful that situation was, I'm sure, for your family. Like, He was going to turn that an opportunity of, like, you know, like, just telling you guys how much He loves you, and then say, okay, Matt, run with it. Now you got to go tell all these other guys how much I love them, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, God does not waste any suffering or opportunity.
Not a bit.
That happens in our lives.
Yeah, no, we still have a few minutes left, Matt, so could you just tell us some details about your ministry?
Absolutely. So our website is fightclubcatholic.com, and, yeah, it began with... Back in 2013, I was meeting with five guys, and one of the guys was struggling with pornography every day. And through our ministry, he goes 3 months free. He says, "Hey, Matt, pray for me." And I said, "What's up?" He's like, "I feel like I'm called to go to seminary." And that's when I realized this is not a porn recovery ministry. This is allowing guys to see Jesus ministry. And two out of our five went to seminary that year. In fact, 23 guys in the past 10 years from our Catholic Student Center at University of Maryland have gone to seminary.
Wow.
10 of whom, yeah, praise God, 10 of whom have been part of Fight Club. It was last year, also, where one of our guys, one of our first Fight Club members, was ordained a priest. And then 2 weeks later, I went to a wedding of one of our guys who got married. And that's when I realized, like, a whisper came in my heart, like, well, what if Fight Club was everywhere, was in every parish and every university? And Our Lady, she's had a lot of work with this. Like, she inspired me to write a book two, three years ago, and that book has reached thousands at this point. And it's because of that book, we are now at 9 universities and 7 parishes and about 300 members strong. And, guys can join Fight Club we have 3 fights: fighting for pure love of Jesus Christ, pure love with our vocation, and pure love with the brotherhood. And we invite guys to a daily way of life called pray, a daily prayer, daily relationship with the rosary, daily accountability, and a daily, what's called a yes battle plan, a pragmatic plan to combat our triggers when it comes to lust and fighting for chastity. And then guys meet weekly, and they have 3 questions that each guy answers. 1, how am I fighting for pure love? 2, what's my SMART goal, i.e. my SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, timely goal? And then that 3rd golden question, who do I want to offer my suffering for?
Wow.
And yeah. And so, yeah. Guys can go to the website and find out how they can create a Fight Club or join a Fight Club. You know, one of our big dreams is imagine is they can put in their zip code and they can just find the local, their locals fight club.
Sure.
Near them. So that's something we're working on. If someone's listening to this and they're like, I want to be part of this mission. I want guys to have pure love so they can bring that to their marriages, so they can bring it to their children. You know, Sound of Freedom is a big movie right now. The sex trafficking, unfortunately, is a $1 billion industry. And a lot of that supply, to use business terms, is pulled by a demand from child pornography. And, you know, it's really awful, but there are 1,000 websites just that are devoted just for child pornography. And that's just child pornography. And I live in College Park, Maryland, and our mayor last year got arrested for having counts of child pornography on his computer.
Wow.
And so this is a very real thing, and it's definitely worth fighting for. No, our God's children are not for sale, as Sound of Freedom talks about. And if this is something that anyone wants to be a part of, feel free to go on our website and put in information to sign up for our newsletter, and then we can be in touch. And if you want to support it, we can have conversations about how you can prayerfully and financially support our mission.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing all that, Matthew. That's like so powerful what you're doing. And
thank you so much, Mary Kate. What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And God bless you all. And also, if any of you are interested in Matthew's ministry, please contact me. I can get you information straight away as well. So God bless you all, and look forward to being with you again. Bye-bye now.